Okay, now broadcasting live. So, welcome everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Thanks so much for joining us and taking some time out of your afternoon. We're really happy to have you all here. Let's do a brief round of introductions for our lovely presenters today. We have Jonathan Sargent, the Director of Sales at RIT Vacations. Give a little wave there. And we have John Fallon, Sales Manager at RIT Vacations. And Lauren Lamonde, Business Partnerships Executive at Tourism Ireland. So thanks all for joining again, and I'll pass it over to Jonathan to get started.
Thank you, everyone, for joining. A happy St. Patrick's Day, wherever you're celebrating. I hope you're wearing green. I'm going to take this hat off because it's kind of flickering, but I'm wearing my nice green RIT hoodie and a nice green hat, and I see Lauren and John are also dressed in green. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. I have Crowpatrick here in the background, named after our patron saint. Lots of people would climb this as a pilgrimage in the summer in their bare feet. Very popular thing to do, but a very popular mountain in Mayo to climb on Christmas Day and also on St. Patrick's Day. So lots of people are out there climbing it as we speak. So Lauren is going to present first, but we just want to thank you all for coming on. Royal Irish Tours, we are the experts on Ireland, and of course there's no greater experts than the Irish Tourist Board themselves. So without further ado, I'll pass you over to Lauren Lamonde to kick us off.
Thank you, Jonathan. Hi, everybody. Falcho, welcome. My name is Lauren, and I'm the Business Partnership Executive with Tourism Ireland in Canada. I want to just say quickly, thank you so much to our friends at Royal Irish Tours for inviting us to be a part of this exciting webinar today. And happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. As Jonathan said earlier, I hope you're all wearing your green. Fun fact, green is now the color synonymous with St. Patrick's Day and Irish pride. But until the 19th century, the color associated with St. Patrick was blue. Today, I'm going to share some more fun facts with you. But before I do, I want to kick off by sharing our brand video, Fill Your Heart with Ireland.
What fills your heart about Ireland? The coast? The people?
Sorry. If you find any pearls, give them to me, okay?
That's good.
The crack.
Ta-da! 3, 2, 1.
Oh, there we go!
Fill your heart with Ireland. Discover more at ireland.com.
So just before we head into the fun facts, I'm going to share some information about getting to Ireland and a little basic knowledge about the island. So in Canada, we have 4 partners that fly into Dublin year-round. Both Aer Lingus and Air Canada operate year-round service from Toronto, and Air Canada operates seasonal service from Vancouver and Montreal. Transat operates seasonal service from Toronto, and WestJet operates seasonal service from Calgary, Toronto, Halifax, and launching this year is St. John's. Well, getting to Ireland is easy. It's even easier once you're there. You can get from the east to the west in approximately 3 hours and from Dublin to Belfast in only 2 hours. The island is made up of 6 regions. So starting from the far left on the west coast is the Wild Atlantic Way. In green is Ireland's hidden heartlands. In orange is Ireland's ancient east. The little purple part, that is Dublin. And in the top is Northern Ireland in dark green. Sorry, my slides are not working. Did that switch? No. Sorry about that. Okay, so here's some fun facts about our patron saint. So St. Patrick's real name is actually Maewyn Sukat and is believed to be of either Welsh or Scottish descent. The exact birthplace of the saint is actually not known, and it's a bit of a subject of controversy. So he later changed his name to Patricius or Patrick, which comes from the Latin word father figure, after becoming a priest. Legend has it in the 5th century, St. Patrick used the shamrock to explain Christianity concept of the Holy Trinity. By the 1600s, the story inspired the use of the shamrock as an emblem for St. Patrick, and because the saint was so closely identified with the country, it became the symbol for Ireland. Many people do think the shamrock is our national emblem, but it's actually the harp. And we're the only country in the world with a musical instrument as our national symbol. The earliest celebration of St. Patrick's Day is said to have taken place in St. Augustine, Florida in 1601. Interesting enough, the first parade in Ireland didn't occur until 1903 in County Waterford. St. Patrick's Day does not celebrate the birth of the saint, but instead the death. He is said to have died in 461 and is buried in Down Cathedral in Downpatrick, County Down. Every St. Patrick's Day from Belfast to Cork, people come together to proudly show off their pride and their heritage with a lot of different events. It's a day to celebrate that famous Irish spirit around the world. In Dublin, St. Patrick's Festival returns with a spectacular parade and plenty of events throughout the city taking place today. Actually, it was being streamed live at about 8:30 this morning from Dublin directly. In Armagh, which is, like I said, the home of St. Patrick, goes all the way with a vibrant mix of culture, comedy, music, and dance. And it celebrates the roots in Northern Ireland. March is not only St. Patrick's Day, but it also holds special significance in Canada and is officially known as Irish Heritage Month by the Canadian government in 2022. Irish Canadians have made lasting contribution to our country's history, and this month provides a great opportunity to explore Irish heritage and its positive influence on Canada. Did you know there's over 4.6 million Canadians who claim Irish ancestry? Today, Irish heritage is celebrated all over the world, especially through St. Patrick. It's a global celebration of Irish culture. And no matter where you are, St. Patrick's Day is the best time of year to wear something green, embrace the festive spirit, and fill your heart with Ireland. Some of the things that we're doing to celebrate here in Canada, as I mentioned, it is Irish Heritage Month. We also will see not only the CN Tower, but Niagara Falls go green today in celebration. Yesterday was the parade in Toronto. I don't know if any of you were able to make it. There's also the 200th anniversary edition in Montreal that took place yesterday. And tonight we're actually sponsoring the Maple Leafs, which they wear their St. Pat's jerseys, originally known as St. Pat's. So we will be on site with some Irish dancers, and there'll be a lot of digital media going through the stadium. So if you happen to catch the game or if you're at the game, have a look out for Tourism Ireland celebrating today. So this is how you say Happy St. Patrick's Day. Maybe I'm going to actually ask these gentlemen to say it because I don't have the accent and I don't want to say it incorrectly in front of you two. So how do you say Happy St. Patrick's Day, Jonathan and John?
Oh, we can both try. You go first there, John.
I would say La Féile Pádraic Sonadach.
I would say La Féile Pádraic Sonadach. So slightly different pronunciations based on where in the country you learned Irish Gaelic.
And that's why it sounds better coming from both of you. Thank you. So many of you have heard the word Salancha, which actually means cheers. It's actually to boost good health. And so we would say it before we cheers glasses. So Salancha. So Jonathan talked a little bit about Kilpatrick and Westport, County Mayo, and it was named after St. Patrick. Supposedly, it was on this mountain that St. Patrick spent the last 40 days of Lent fasting. The climb is now a tradition that is handed down through generations. When you reach the top, you are rewarded with some of the most beautiful views. It's definitely one for the bucket list. As I mentioned, iconic buildings will turn green in Toronto, but there's also many buildings all over Canada, all over the world that will go green. So you've probably seen some of these before. The Sydney Opera House in Ireland, the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia will go green. Many of the famous buildings itself in Ireland will go green. So this definitely recognized all over the world. So pictured here is the Rock of Cashel, which is in County Tipperary in Ireland's ancient East. The Rock of Cashel is known as St. Patrick's Rock. And according to legend, Satan was hiding in a mountain cave. And when St. Patrick banished him, Satan took a bite of the mountain in a fury and spat it out, creating the Rock of Cashel today. Downpatrick, which is known for being St. Patrick's final resting place. So his body lies under a memorial stone in the grounds of the glorious Down Cathedral, which actually has some beautiful stained glass windows as well. It's a beautiful site to visit. And again, green being the color synonymous with March 17th, originally was the color blue. I'm going to share with you next the new St. Patrick's Day campaign that we just recently launched.
The daylight's fading slowly, and all we have is here.
Serene St. Patrick's Day.
It's like a dream.
So before I hand over to Jonathan and John, I just want to share some of the resources that we have available for you to help familiarize yourself with Island of Ireland and to sell it to your clients, of course. So our traditional website is ireland.com. There's a lot of great information on that website with trip ideas, route planning, attractions, fun facts, and accommodation listings. We also have our content pool, which is a free portal. You have to register actually for an account, but it is completely free. And you have access to download a ton of images, videos, and lots of great content on the island of Ireland. We have our trade e-zines that go out every month. So if you are subscribed to receive information from Tourism Ireland, you will get the latest information on new product listings, new announcements, events that are coming up in Ireland. We also recently launched a revised trade website. So you can actually go on there and get lots of information there, including our toolkits. So that is tourismireland.com/trade. We do have our own Facebook group, and it is called Ireland Insiders for Canadian Advisors. So this is exclusive to advisors. And this is where you will find lots of information about upcoming events. We will share webinar postings, our tours that we do across Canada as well. So definitely encourage you to be a member of our Facebook page if you can. These are a couple examples of the toolkits that we have. So our campaign that we are doing now is Fill Your Heart with Ireland. And then we also just went out a couple weeks ago with the St. Patrick's toolkit, but just to show you the examples. So if you want to use any of that in your marketing, you absolutely can use those and download directly from the trade website. As I mentioned, we have our sales mission events that we do every year. So we have a couple coming up at the end of April. So we'll be in Victoria, Kelowna, Edmonton, and Ottawa. So again, if you want to be a member or if you want to participate, we encourage you to join the Facebook page or our e-zine where we'll be able to send out more information. We do a number of webinars throughout the year. So a couple of the ones that we have coming up, there is Outdoor Enthusiasts on April 9th, Destination Weddings on April 23rd, and then LGBTQ+, which is taking place on May 14th. And this year we are celebrating the 10th referendum of gay marriage in Ireland. So it'll be a great celebration and lots of great information on that. We also do a quarterly digest, which is a magazine that goes out, also highlights new upcoming events. So this is something that we send out every quarter. So you can also subscribe through our trade website for that as well. Last but definitely not least, we have exciting, actually we have two more slides, sorry. We're doing a trip giveaway this year. So this year is Riverdance's 30th anniversary, and they are touring across North America. So we are giving away a trip for two to the island of Ireland. And this is for available for not only consumers, but agents. So we encourage you to register and participate and also share with your clients if you want. So it's a great incentive. And then last but certainly not least, we were nominated for Best Tourism Board in Europe. So we at the Baxter Media Agents Choice Awards. So we hope you'll vote for us. Thank you so much. And I'm going to hand over to Royal Irish Tours.
Thank you, Lauren. That was great. And I do encourage everyone to vote for Royal Irish Tours in many of the categories that we're in the Agents Choice Awards as well. Thanks for the prompt there, Lauren. So Lauren covered a lot of great facts about St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Royal Irish to start and then pass you over to John, who's going to do something very fun with you all. But first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day, wherever you're celebrating. I hope you get a chance to maybe enjoy a pint of Guinness or celebrate a local parade in some small towns. I know they have them. I had the pleasure of being in Ireland for St. Patrick's Day 2 years ago and actually marching in the parade in Killarney, which was really great. I hadn't been involved in a parade since I was a child there. And it's really fabulous just to see all the local communities all over Ireland celebrating with their local parades. Of course, over 1 million people go to the parade in Dublin, but the small regional parades are fabulous as well. As a thank you to everyone who's attended this webinar and any of our last three that Royal Irish have hosted, you are entered to win a trip to Ireland, including flights from Tourism Ireland. So a really fabulous prize, a 7-night driving holiday to the island of Ireland, flights included. So big thank you to our partner Tourism Ireland for co-sponsoring this prize, and we're very excited to give one lucky winner that. We are going to announce the winner tomorrow. We just need to compile a list of everyone who was on this as well as the others and make sure everyone in the draw has attended at least two. If you attended all four, that's four chances to win a trip. So thank you for all your support there. So a bit about Royal Irish, family owned and operated, but we like to just people to remember Ireland and the UK is all we sell, but Ireland is the main part of our business. 24 years we've been selling Ireland. Ian started the company back in 2001, just selling Ireland, and we've gone from strength to strength. And now we sell a variety of experiences from coach tours to driving holidays. So you're a full service tour operator for Ireland. But some reasons why people want to go to Ireland, the historic cities. I always particularly like to mention Northern Ireland, and it's just moved on so much since the time of the Troubles. You get to learn a lot of that history. You get to learn about Titanic Belfast, which was the pride of the city when it was built there in the early 1900s. Some incredible cities. The city of Derry is a very moving visit and one of the only remaining walled cities in Europe. So historic cities are definitely a highlight for people visiting Ireland. Of course, they say we have the Cead Mhíle Fáilte, the 100,000 welcomes, so no matter where you go, whether you're on a walking tour with Carolyn Wilson, a nice foodie tour in Belfast, or just enjoying some of our fabulous food all around Ireland. The people really do add to the experience. We really pride ourselves on farm to fork, on provenance. No matter where you are on the island of Ireland, you're going to get some incredible food, whether you're at a local farmer's market, on a lovely walking tour with our guide, Ollie, who we use on the Best of the West. He does a fabulous food tour of his home county of Clare, including a drop off after the tour at the Cliffs of Moher to do a lovely cruise to see the cliffs. So a fabulous tour, but so many great foodie options. If you like seafood, obviously being in Ireland, some incredible seafood. We really pride ourselves on farm to fork, as I mentioned, some incredible dairy products, some really wonderful meat products as well. And of course, the famous potato. We cook it about 20 or 30 different ways. So no shortage of fabulous food when you're on the island of Ireland. Unique experience and visits as well, whether you're visiting the local craftsmen and women at Bleak Pottery or Water for Crystal, or just engaging with locals, whether it's a cooking class with Tracy Jeffrey at her 18th century farmhouse seen in the picture here, or doing a nice walking tour at the Giant's Causeway or any of that. It's really about the engagement with the people that really make the destination so special. So just in terms of what we sell here at Royal Irish, I mentioned coach tours. We also do fully escorted sightseeing tours, rail journeys. And then if you want to do your own thing, you can drive yourself. We do drive on the left on the island of Ireland, so make sure you do remember that. And I know a lot of you have done custom groups with us, or you can book groups on existing tours. So lots of really great ways to see the destination. In terms of what's different about us compared to some of the other tour operators, we always try to do two-night stays wherever possible on our tours. So on our 15-day, 14-night Shamrock Royal, for example, we're two nights in all the cities listed here, other than Killarney, where we are three nights. So longer stays in each destination to really get to see the local area. More included experiences. I mentioned Titanic Belfast. We don't nickel and dime you on tour, so all your attraction visits are included, most of your evening meals, all your breakfasts, all your four-star accommodation, and then some itineraries, slightly higher end accommodation. Our Manor Royal will be mostly five-star accommodation. And our group size, maximum 38 on our largest group tours. Then our Manor and our luxury tour in England and Wales is maximum 26. And then our smaller sightseeing tours are 16 guests. And of course, our tour managers, most have been with us 10 plus years. So on all our coach tours, you'll have a driver and a guide with you for the duration of the trip. So it's really nice to have those experts show you the destination, and they really bring the destination to life. And of course, we are Canadian. I always like to reiterate this. Our head office is in Richmond Hill. 99% of our guests are from Canada. All pricing is in Canadian dollars. Lots of great air inclusive specials weekly on our website from Toronto, which you can connect from some other gateways there. But we are Canadian, and we have our own office in Dublin as well. Our owner's Irish. John and I are Irish. Lots of our staff are Irish, so we really do pride ourselves on being the experts on the destination here from Canada. Some of our most popular itineraries in Ireland, I won't go into too much depth, but in Northern Ireland, we have three fabulous ones. Our Causeway and Castle is a really nice in-depth one, sightseeing tour in Northern Ireland, including a night in a luxury Irish castle on the final night. Our Shamrock Royal and Manor Royal both stay two nights in Belfast and before exploring the Giant's Causeway and that north coast. So really fabulous itineraries if your clients are interested in the whole island of Ireland or Northern Ireland. And then we have some fabulous tours to the south as well, our most popular being our Irish Twist, which is a really fabulous 8-day, 7-night coach tour. The highlight of this trip, there's two highlights. Staying at the Armada in Spanish Point is a fabulous, fabulous visit, and a lovely four-star hotel, one of the nicest in all of Ireland. I believe it's John Fallon's favorite hotel. And also one night in the beautiful town of Dingle, the most westerly town in Ireland. So really fabulous visit. I got to spend St. Patrick's Day there in the evening 2 years ago, and there's 2,000 people, population of 2,000 people, and there's 41 pubs. So really great place to spend a weekend or St. Patrick's Day, and it's a fabulous stay on our tour. Then we have one new itinerary for next year. So for this year, sorry, our Cliffs and Countryside. It's a lovely five-day, four-nights, and it's a long stay just in one place. So it's a day tripper from Adair. So the first day you get picked up in Dublin, 9 a.m., down to Adair via the Rocket Castle, four nights in Adair at the beautiful Fitzgerald Woodlands. We'll have two evening meals included, including a Bunratty Castle banquet dinner. And then we do day trips from there. So one to the Ring of Kerry, one to Cork Cove, and a chance to kiss the Blarney Stone, and then a lovely half-day trip to the Cliffs of Moher. So something a bit different and a really nice way to see the southwest of Ireland. So that's what's new for 2025. We've got some new experiences on our tours, Experience Gaelic Games, which you'll hear a bit more about shortly, as well as Wild Atlantic Sheepdogs, which is a fabulous experience on our Causeway and Castles itinerary. So we always like to add little different things. On our Manor Royal, we have a new hotel. We're staying in the Hardiman Hotel in the heart of Galway on this year's tour. We used to stay at the Lodge at Ashford, but we've moved to a city centre location. So again, another fabulous addition to our tour. Now I'm going to pass you over to John, who's going to give you a little lesson in how to speak Irish Gaelic. Most of us in Ireland can speak a little, but John was grew up in Galway in the west, where a lot of them speak a bit more Gaelic. So I'll pass you over to John to give you a quick Irish lesson, and then afterwards we're going to do some trivia, chance to win some prizes, and we'll answer any questions people have too. So over to you, Johnny boy.
Perfect. Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks everyone for joining. Happy St. Patrick's Day. My name is John Fallon. Oscuelga are an Irish. My name is Sean O'Falloon. So typically when we're going to school in Ireland, we'll have our names if they're English names, and then our Irish names will be used a lot of the time as well, especially if you get into trouble maybe in your Irish classes. When we're talking about the Irish language and keeping, I suppose, trying to keep the language alive, it is an endangered language technically, but it is going through a bit of a revival at the moment. I always like to include this slide here on the right of Ballindurie, and this is my home village back in Ireland. Not the brightest of council workers around this part of the world, because you'll see two signs, both located in the same area. One is 8 kilometres to the village, the other is 5, and there's no distance between both. But the reason I include this Ballindurie, Balia or Bally, anywhere you hear a term Bally in Ireland, it means home or homeland or townland of something. Durin is the Gaelic word for oak. So the city of Derry or the county of Derry is a direct translation, means it's known as the oak county because there's a lot of an oak trees up there. And Ian, that you hear, this I-N at the end of words, means small. So when we're younger, or often you'll have grandparents call their, maybe their grandkids, if their name is Sean, they might call them Seanine, or if they're John, they might call them Johnine, and that just means little or small. So Ballindurie or Ballindurie basically means the townland of the little oaks. So we're quite literal with our names in Ireland. Old head, for example, Sean Kian. Sean means old, Kian means head. So you will see throughout Ireland a lot of the place names. They might be in English, but they're just directly translated from the Gaelic terms, and typically in the Gaelic term, they're very literal with the place names themselves. So just to give you a bit of an overview, Bally, as I said, means homestead or townland. Kill typically means there's a church, or there was a church in the area once upon a time. The likes of Killarney, Kilkenny, you'll always find a church in some of these areas. Rath means an earth mound, so Rathmore, Rathdowney, you'll always see an earth mound in these areas. And Port then is the bank or a fort. So we have Port Larraga, which is Waterford. Basically, it's the bank of the river down there. Ross is wood. One of the most common names, are the most common cities in Ireland where you'll hear the Gaelic language, is actually Belfast. So Belfast, Bail in Irish means mouth. So when we were at school, we were told to do the Bail, which was close your mouth or shut your mouth. So Bail is mouth, and Festa is a river in Belfast. So that basically means it's the mouth of the river Festa. So to this day, we'll still use the Gaelic language, and it's more or less indirectly that you'll hear it a lot of the time. There are Gaelic speaking areas of Ireland as well, which we visit on a lot of our tours. And let me see here if the video, just getting some feedback here that the sound has stopped. I just want to make sure it's all good on your end. Jonathan, you can hear me okay?
I can hear you, yeah, no problem.
Perfect. So we're just talking about the Gaelic, Irish, the language revival at the moment. So as I said, years ago when we were growing up in school, Jonathan and myself, the Irish language was going through a bit of a decline. Thankfully, within the last, I would say, 5 to 7 years, there's been a bit more of a revival of the language, and a lot of it has got to do with the arts as well. So there's a picture here on your top left on Colleen Kuhn. So this was an Oscar nominated movie from last year. It was all through Irish language, and to my knowledge, it was the first Irish language movie nominated for an Oscar. So on Colleen Kuhn, again putting Ireland on the map as in as an Irish language movie that were out there. Kneecap is a band from Belfast that most of their songs are sung in Irish as well. So again, it's through the everyday that we're trying to promote the Irish language, not just in schools, that it's outside of the classroom itself. And the one on your right here, RD Oscailga. So this was a shop in Galway, a coffee shop called Plomas. And what they offer, it's a Gaelic speaking shop. So if you go in and order in Irish, you'll actually get a discount on your coffee. So what they try to encourage is that it shouldn't be just the classroom anymore. It shouldn't strictly be, can you hold a conversation in Irish, but can you go in and can you order a coffee or a cappuccino, and trying to bring it in to the everyday. Local pubs in Galway will do the same as well. If you can go in and order a pint of Guinness, you might get a few cents off your pint as well. So it's about encouraging locals and people visiting Ireland as well to use the language, and that it's not disappeared completely. As I said, there's a lot of Gaeltacht areas in Ireland. Gaeltacht is where the Irish language is spoken first. So West Galway, Kerry up in West Donegal as well, you'll hear a lot of Irish being spoken. In 2007, the first Gaeltacht was established outside of Ireland itself, and it was established in Tamworth in Ontario. So we're very proud of the fact that we have a Gaeltacht here in Ontario. Gaeltacht on Éilean Oighir basically means North American Gaeltacht. It's not strictly an Irish-speaking area of Ontario, if there's any people from the area that know it, but it's an area that has preserved its Irish heritage. They offer workshops in the Irish language, lessons, and it's a great place for people to come together for weekends to learn the Irish language as well. And just to give you an idea, when you're looking at your TV tonight and there might be an Irish artist on some of the talk shows, names always pop up when there's an Irish person on around St. Patrick's Day, because North Americans sometimes are trying to pronounce the language or pronounce the names. The one on the left here, you see the MH, and the MH is typically a V sounding at the end of a name. So Niamh is what you'll see on the left hand side. In the middle, BH again is a V sounding, so you'll hear Ava is the name in the middle, and Aoife is what you'll see on the right hand side. DH, you'll see in the top here, is basically it's silent. So a few words that we have, we try and just fill them up with additional letters sometimes that aren't really needed at all. This we would consider our honors levels of names itself. The one here on the left, as you see, you've got your DH and your BH at the end. Looking at it, if you only spoke English, it is very hard to pronounce. This is Maeve. The one in the middle is Cuiva, and then we've got Aveen on the right hand side. So a lot of these names you will see coming back into fashion again. I've got a brother back in Ireland, has four kids, and they have all Gaelic names, names that weren't really present up until probably 100 years ago. So they're starting to kind of come back into fashion again, the Irish names. So you will hopefully in years to come see more Irish artists winning Oscars and Grammys with native names, let's say. Some of our employees that you'll hear in their office anytime you're calling in, the easiest one, of course, is Connor. So this is the most, I suppose, neutral of the Gaelic names themselves. This one was made popular by an artist in the 90s. I think pre-90s, not many people knew how to pronounce this name.
Siniad, is it?
It gets butchered a few times when people call into the office. This is our head of reservations. It's Sinead is the name you see here. Very popular name, as I said, over the last 20, 30 years. Again, this is another tough one for people. You'll hear it in other parts of the UK in different spellings. But this one here is Owen. And this one here we have as well. Again, it's becoming a bit more of a popular name that you'll see across Canada as well, I think, with Irish people, the way we immigrate. So this is Aoife that you'll see. And we have an Aoife working with us, of course, in our office. And does anyone know what the next image is going to be about? You're welcome to comment on the side. We'll see if anyone has been on our tours over the last few years or knows what this sport is.
And as well as John showing a picture of this sport, and he's going to play a video. If anyone types in the name of the sport before he plays the video, you'll be entered to win a prize. Oh, now everyone's typing out there's a prize. And we're going to have some trivia at the end where it's going to be type in to the chat, and we're going to pull the history after, so we'll announce all the winners. So back to you, John.
Yeah. Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, as soon as the prize is announced, we've got a flurry of messages. So yes, that's the sport of hurling that you see here. And hurling was set up in the late 1800s, 1884. It's been around in folklore for thousands of years. It was legitimized, I suppose, in the late 1800s, got to do with the Gaelic revival, and legitimized the game. It set it up as a rural sport that was played throughout the island of Ireland. This is a picture of my local team from 1909. As many of you can see here, the shape of the sticks back then were quite similar to that of hockey sticks. So a lot of Irish that come over to Canada like the similarities between hurling and hockey, mainly because of the aggression between the two sports. Also, the stick is fairly similar. Nowadays, the stick is slightly changed. This is one I have here where it's a bit more, it's a bigger boss that you have at the front of it, and they are typically made out of ash. So you'll see them around Ireland when your clients are back. It's a community-based sport. So I had to dig up this when I was in my younger days. It's very much a community-based sport, hurling. It is volunteer-based, so nobody gets paid for playing their sport. Since I moved to Canada, I found big similarities between that and hockey. Every, I suppose, small town you go to here, especially in Ontario, there's a hockey arena, and that's part and parcel of life. Back in Ireland, most villages and towns will have a hurling pitch or a GAA pitch. So we've got three sports: hurling, Gaelic football, and also handball. And I am buried in the picture there. I'm right in the middle, underneath the manager to the right. So yeah, that was back in my playing days with Ballandarine, the local club. And again, typically people play with the teams where they live, so there's no real transfers or anything like that. It's pretty much where you grew up, you play with your neighbors and with your friends. Anywhere you find the Irish diaspora around the world, you will find a GAA club. In Canada, as of last year, or as of this year, there's 31 teams throughout Canada. That's from Vancouver all the way back to Halifax, Nova Scotia. The newest team to be established was in London, Ontario. So again, with the way Irish people like to immigrate, if you find a large pocket of Irish people, typically you will find Gaelic sports being played. And this is me with my local team in Toronto. It's Clan na Gael. People often hear the word clan and Gael. Throughout Ireland and throughout the world, clan is the Irish, the Gaelic word for family, so it's basically family of Irish. So again, it's a social thing for a lot of Irish people when they're abroad. It's a networking, I suppose, a place for networking with locals and with people from back home. And we're quite fortunate as well with the Canadians taking up. We've got a lot of off-season people from hockey that need to get rid of their aggression as well, so they'll join the local hurling team. So we're very proud of that fact, and we have it integrated into some of our tours as well, where clients get to play. They can get as involved as they like with the sport of hurling itself. So we have it on three itineraries this year, and it's very interesting because, especially with a Canadian company, we find everyone gets hands-on, and then when they're going out the rest of their tour for the next week or 10 days, they get to see the kids going around with their hurlies and wondering what the what these weapons are. They've already experienced it as well. And this is just a video of the experience that we have included as part of some of our tours this year.
There are very few nations in the world that have the cultural richness of the Irish. Even fewer still where the national sports are so entwined in that cultural heritage. Gaelic games are the passion of this nation. Ancient warrior sports, which entail a unique philosophy and spirit. Every local community in the country with their own proud identity, their own tribal colours. Every one of the more than 2,000 clubs nationwide are individual cultural hubs promoting our language, our songs, our dance. The largest amateur sporting organisation on the planet. But it's so much more than sport. It's a way of life. It's what makes us who we are. Experience Gaelic Games brings you to the heart of this unique culture. With bases nationwide and mobile teams that can travel to you, Experience Gaelic Games is a multi-sensory, immersive experience. Unlock the secrets of this rich tapestry. Learn the key skills of our ancient sports, games as old as time itself, with expert instruction from highly qualified instructors. Get the taste of battle, as well as a deep insight of all aspects of our unique heritage. Exploring different cultural experiences is the ultimate aim of travel. Experience Gaelic Games is an unrivaled, multifaceted, fun-filled celebration of Irish culture and games. Experience Gaelic Games is a top-rated visitor experience with fun-filled activities that give a true insight into Irish life. It's so much more than sport. It's who we are.
Thank you, Eilish. Yeah, that was a little glimpse into the experience that we have as part of our tours this year, some of our tours that stop off in Galway. And I will pass it back to Jonathan now, who will take us through some quiz questions.
Thank you very much. And if anyone wants to join our Facebook group in the meantime, you can scan the QR code there or search Royal Irish Tours Agent Group. I'm just going to answer a few questions people are asking. Is it as hard as a cricket ball, not quite as hard as a cricket ball or a baseball, but it certainly hurts you and leave a bruise if it hits you.
Yeah, it's typically cork in the middle, and leather is the outside. That's typically the size of the ball you would have. Obviously, for the smaller guys, you'll have small balls, but yeah, leather. So it's not the best when it's raining and cold, and you get a lash of one of these.
And people are asking about, is it a similar field to lacrosse? I said it does have some similarities, but no, it's on a huge field. So it'll be bigger than American football field. And there's two large posts at either end. There's also a net. So it's 3 points to score it in the net where there's a goalkeeper. And then one to hit it over the bar. Anything else to add there, John?
No, I think you've got it. Yeah, this I forgot to mention, it's actually technically the fastest field sport. So hockey is the fastest sport, I believe. So hurling is the fastest field sport, though the Irish aren't best equipped with the heat out here in the summer when we're playing. It might be a bit slower here.
And in terms of protection, you'd normally wear a mouth guard or gum shield, and you have to wear a helmet as well. So the helmet is slight netting. And most of them are crazy. They don't wear shin pads or anything to protect their shins. So yes, they do get a lot of bruised and broken shin bones, but they seem to just carry on with that.
Yeah, and typically the helmets that were used first, the helmets weren't compulsory up until maybe 15 years ago. And traditionally, it was a lot of Cooper helmets that were used. Guys coming back from Canada that saw hockey players wearing the Cooper helmets. And Cooper are actually the biggest manufacturer of hurling helmets now on the island of Ireland.
There you go. And there'll be lots of chance for Q&A at the end. So if you do have any questions, type them in the Q&A box. They'll probably get lost in the chat because we're about to do some trivia where you're going to have to enter your answers in there. So I hope everyone was listening to Lauren and my slides earlier, because we did give some clues on some of these questions. So I hope you're able to answer. You're going to have 30 seconds once I ask the question. I will say 20 seconds, actually, to enter it into the chat, and then John's going to type entries closed once it's entered. So when we're picking the winners from the chat history, we're able to pick from people who got the answers in time. So we have four by gift card giveaways. We actually have five because we're going to give away for all of those who answered hurling correctly. So there'll be one winner from that. So the first question is RIT related. The rest are a little more fun. So what's the name of RIT's luxury coach tour? You have 20 seconds to enter it in there. 11 days, 10 nights, mostly five-star hotels. And it stays in two nights in a castle as well. Not too many people seem to know this one. No one's typing in. That's good. Two entries so far. There you go. Five more seconds. Okay, we're closing out. Good stuff. And the answer was the Manor Royal. So we stay six nights in lovely five-star hotels. Two nights in a luxury Irish castle. Congratulations to everyone who got that. There'll be plenty more chances to win now with the next questions. What is the national symbol of Ireland? We were told this earlier as well. Is it the shamrock? I'm not sure. You have 30 seconds to 20 seconds to type in now. What's the national symbol of Ireland? That's good. Lots of people were listening there. That's great. You have five more seconds. The answer indeed is the harp. So interesting thing about this is it's actually the symbol of Guinness as well. So Guinness actually had this before the Irish government adopted it. The Guinness harp is actually the other way around. So Guinness had trademarked that. So the Irish government have it this way, and it's the national symbol of Ireland. And it's a really beautiful instrument. You'll often see it played in quiet bars in hotels and other various locations around Ireland. A really lovely instrument and a big part of our culture, of course, the music. So it's always great to see the harp. I don't need to tell you about the shamrock. Of course, it was used by St. Patrick to describe the Holy Trinity back in the day when he was trying to convert people to Christianity, of course. And where was St. Patrick born? I mean, Lauren did give two countries, so we'll accept either of those answers, although I have only one picked on the next slide. So where was St. Patrick born? Hint, it was not Ireland. Sue, it's not Armagh. He was buried in Armagh, so good guess. And actually, that Downpatrick in County Down, where St. Patrick is laid to rest, is really beautiful. There's a large rock there, there's a fabulous cathedral, and it really doesn't get that many tourists visiting there. It's in kind of a lovely little local town. There's a few nice places to stay there. There's St. Patrick's Trail you can follow, but Downpatrick is absolutely a beautiful cathedral. So it was indeed Wales or Scotland, if you believe some of the what you have. So if you said Wales or Scotland, you're entered into the draw. Congratulations. And the last question, how many pints of Guinness will be enjoyed around the world today? I'll be enjoying two myself, I think. So is it 1 million, 13 million, or 41 million? There are your options. 1, 13, or 41. Lots of people saying millions. That's a good guess.
Lots. I like that.
We'll give it another few seconds.
Yeah, there's a right answer in there.
Yeah, I did see a few of the right answers. And it is indeed 13 million. So I don't know who's counting, but 13 million is quite a lot. But we hope if anyone is enjoying a Guinness or two, they're drinking responsibly. And a big thank you to everyone for joining the webinar. We will open it up to questions. This means Gorav Mila Mahagut, which means thank you very much in the Irish language. As you can see, you would not think that's how it's pronounced looking at that, but Gorav Mila Mahagut. So if there are any questions, feel free to type them in and we're happy to answer them. Also, in terms of the prize giveaway, we are going to announce a winner tomorrow. So we just have to add up everyone who's on this and compile it with our other lists of our other three webinars. And we have lovely round trip flights from Canada, a 7-night trip around Ireland with a car, staying in lovely B&Bs. So thank you all for joining. And any questions, let us know.
I did see a question earlier from Chantal. She actually put it in twice. So I want to make sure you get to that. It was if you have wheelchair accessible tours.
So in terms of wheelchair accessibility on our coach tours, we wouldn't, as there are steps on the coach. But if you're doing a chauffeur drive or self drive, it is possible to get vehicles that are accessible for people in wheelchairs. If you're doing your own vacation as well, the rail is all wheelchair accessible, and the majority of hotels on the island of Ireland will be wheelchair accessible. Now, some small or country hotels maybe not be, but on any of our tours, they're all wheelchair accessible. And also people with mobility issues, if they have walkers and stuff, they're possible to bring on tours, and we can request accessibility rooms on our tours as well. Lauren, do you have anything to add there, or know any companies doing accessible tours?
So we actually have a planner on our website. I will put the link actually in the chat. So it will give you a listing of some great partners that you can use for accessibility. So let me just find that and I'll drop that in.
Great. And sorry, Eilish, where I didn't see that question. Was that in the...
It was buried under all the
answers.
The fast finger answers. Yeah, it was earlier on. I've been writing them down. There was also one from Sue earlier on about registration for your road shows this year. I think she was looking for one in Edmonton and was wondering where she can find the registration for those.
Yeah, she actually sent me a private message as well, and I replied, it has not yet gone live. It will be going out. Registration opens early next week. So you will get that if you are registered for our e-zines or in our Facebook group.
Amazing.
Great. And I see Neil asked about FAMs. We do FAM trips from time to time. We will be doing one in November. We just submitted a survey with a chance to win a space on a FAM. So we do have a new agent portal and we're going to be launching soon where you can book an RIT trip online and do various other things. We've sent out a survey and there's a chance to win a trip to Ireland on our FAM trip. So that's going to be the 9th to the 15th of November. Anyone who's on this webinar, I'll be sure you receive the invite to apply for the FAM. So that'll be our next FAM. We do FAMs from time to time. We often do good agent discounts as well from time to time. We did a buy one, get one earlier in the year, but we do have 30% off on any of our coach tours if you want to experience the island of Ireland on your own. And there might be a roadshow in Cincinnati, Neil, but that would be with the Tourism Ireland office in Canada. In the US, and I know they do roadshows in different cities each year. So you'd have to check with the US Tourism Ireland team in relation to that. But I think that concludes it for now. A big thank you to everyone for coming out. If there's any more questions, feel free to email Lauren, John, or myself. We'd be more than happy to help. Big thank you to all our presenters and to Eilish for hosting. A big thank you to Baxter. And happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. And thanks everyone. Bye.